Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, April 6, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini. James is seeing the original Broadway production of the play That Goes Wrong as I'm recording. He has not texted me yet, so I don't know what he thinks. So you're going to have to wait to this week on Broadway on Sunday to get his full review. I'm sure there will be plenty of other things discussed with whomever he decides to have on the panel this week. It seems to be a bit rotating nowadays with all of the different commitments that everybody has. But either way, you will have a ton of fun on that show, so check that out. Also, while I'm recording, over at the Barrymore Theater is the very first performance of the first Broadway revival of John Guare's Six Degrees of Separation, starring Allison Janney, John Benjamin Hickey, Corey Hawkins, and many more. Congratulations to everybody over there. The production is scheduled to play 15 weeks and run through Sunday, July 16th. Much like many of you, I have long been an Allison Janney fan, so I'm really excited to hear how this one goes. Maybe we can get her a Tony to throw up there with all of her dozens upon dozens of Emmy Awards. Okay, on to the news. Last night, the latest revival of the classic Noel Coward comedy Present Laughter opened at the St. James Theater, directed by Tony Award nominee Moritz von Stupnagel. This revival stars the two-time Tony winner, Kevin Kline, along with Tony and Emmy Award nominee Kate Burton, Tony nominee Christine Nielsen, and stage and screen star Cobie Smulders in her Broadway debut. This revival is scheduled to run through July 2nd, so get your tickets while you can because it looks like the reviews are mostly really positive. Leading us off is Ben Brantley in the New York Times, who made the show a critic's pick. He opens his review, quote, "It's high time we were reminded again of what a great physical comedian Kevin Kline is. Playing an aging matinee idol in the bouncy new revival of Noel Coward's Present Laughter, Mr. Kline blissfully plies the witty athleticism and daring do that won him 2 Tony Awards and an Oscar in his youth. In the uneven but enjoyable production, which opened on Wednesday at the St. James Theater, directed by Moritz von Stupnagel, Mr. Kline makes his entrance in a state of soigné disarray. Brantley continues, Mr. Kline, I am delighted to report, fully delivers on the promise of that entrance, building a paradoxically natural performance as a man for whom the histrionic gesture is a conditioned reflex. Brantley concludes, talking about Kline's co-stars, saying, quote, among the supporting cast, Miss Burton and Miss Smulders seem most at home with the bandying dialogue, much of which remains priceless. Many of the ensemble members, including the wonderful but miscast Miss Nielsen and a hyperventilating Mr. Rogers, that's Reg Rogers, are giving such grandstanding performances that Gary, Kline's character, sometimes seems like the sanest person in the room. Up next, David Cody of Time Out New York, who gave the show 4 out of 5 stars, he wrote, quote, I've just learned what it takes to create an absolutely splendid revival of Noel Coward's Present Laughter. Step 1, cast Kevin Kline. Step 2, hire a director whose name sounds like a punchline Coward might have considered, Moritz von Stupnagel. Cody goes on, there are further details, inviting design, surrounding Kline with a smashing cast, but the simple act of handing America's greatest exemplar of comic suavity a role he was born to play is half the battle. That sentiment is echoed by Variety's Marilyn Stasio. She wrote, quote, whatever would we do without Kevin Kline? In an age of lesser stars, he's a bona fide matinee idol of the ideal age and with the urbane sensibility to do justice to sophisticated scribes like Noel Coward. Present Laughter is a delicious drawing room comedy that Coward dashed off in 1942 to amuse himself and his friends while engaging in a bit of sober self-reflection. Kline relishes the comic challenge in this snazzy production, directed by the aforementioned Moritz von Stupnagel. Jeremy Gerard from Deadline credits both the director and the star in his review, writing, quote, Moritz von Stupnagel's revival is fleet, funny, deliciously cast, and over the top when it should be, and occasionally when it needn't be, sweating just a bit too hard to earn the audience's whoops of pleasure. Fortunately, Coward and Kline are too dynamic a duo to suffer any damage from such picked nits. However, there were a few dissenters, at least in part. Matt Windman of AM New York gave the show 2.5 stars out of 4, writing, quote, with all due respect to Noel Coward's classic English comedies of the 1920s through 1940s, do they really merit being revived so regularly? Sure, they're witty, classy, and charming, but also insubstantial and tame by today's standards, and not especially relevant anymore. I suspect that we run into the plays so often because they contain great roles for actors. Admittedly, the role fits Klein like a glove, especially given his knack for hammy personalities. He is careful not to overplay the comedy with the intention of giving a fully rounded performance. His Essendine is a tired thespian with graying hair whose instinctual response to the chaos around him is to break into a soliloquy or dramatic pose. Winman goes on to compliment Klein's co-stars, writing, quote, "Christine Nielsen in an animated air nails every one of Coward's barbs as Essendine's all-knowing secretary. Kobe Smulders makes a sleek and sexy Broadway debut as a woman engaged in multiple affairs, and Kate Burden is as assured as ever as Essendine's estranged wife." Many of those thoughts are echoed in Robert Kahn's review for NBC New York, where he wrote, quote, "Kevin Klein leads a talented cast in a rather plodding revival of Noel Coward's present laughter, an intimate comedy on the boards at the not-so-intimate St. James Theater. I suspect audiences may attend present laughter, accepting a sweeping comedic performance from Klein. Let's call this the Wanda and soap dish rule, in acknowledgement of earlier roles in which Klein established his reputation as an exaggerating thespian adept at playing bombastic narcissists. But what we have here is more of a big chill. It's fantastic to see Klein perform live, a treat Broadway audiences haven't had since Cyrano a decade ago. He is still the master of bumbling and pomposity, adjusting his hair in the mirror each time someone rings his doorbell. But his performance doesn't radiate pep and vigor." Kahn does go on to say that the best performances came from Burton and Nielsen, which I don't think anyone will have trouble believing since those are two of our greatest actresses. Overall, I think they were positive. I don't know that anyone expected something really revolutionary from a Noel Coward comedy. So, as James has been saying about a lot of shows this season, if this is something that you are naturally prone to enjoy, chances are you're going to enjoy it. If Noel Coward comedies aren't the thing that normally gets you excited to go to the theater, chances are this is one you can skip. Moving on to something that I would not skip if I had the opportunity, yesterday it was announced that Tony Award and Pulitzer Prize winner Wendy Wasserstein's play An American Daughter will return to New York in a one-night-only benefit reading on May 8th at the Tony Kaiser Theater, directed by, get this, Emmy, Golden Globe, and Academy Award winner Christine Lottie. The reading will star Golden Globe winner Keri Russell from TV's Americans, one of the best shows on TV. If you're not watching it, you should, especially in today's political climate. She will be joined by Broadway's own Emmy nominee, Hugh Dancy, along with two-time Tony Award nominee Jonathan Groff, four-time Tony nominee Victor Garber, Tony Award winner Julie White, Emmy Award winner Zoe Kazan, Tony nominee Raul Esparza, and Obie winner Quincy Tyler Bernstein, with, I guess, additional casting to be announced. I don't know what other stars they're going to get in for this. All proceeds will benefit She Should Run, a nonprofit organization, quote, "working to create a culture that inspires women and girls to aspire towards public leadership." Tickets are now on sale, and we will have the link in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. If you're unfamiliar with the play, it's described thusly: a prophetic reflection of the modern political era, Wendy Wasserstein's An American Daughter follows Lisa Dent Hughes, played by Russell, an accomplished doctor and the president's newly named nominee for Surgeon General. While her confirmation at first seems inevitable, Lisa is stunned when the vetting of her past leads to a scandal that threatens to derail her future. Tickets for the benefit range from $65 to $155, the latter of which includes premium tickets and an invitation to a post-show reception. Get on this now, because I would be all over it if I was in town, so someone go and tell me how good it was, okay? Sticking with some big-name stars, yesterday Deadline Hollywood exclusively reported that comedy giant Billy Crystal has signed on to star in a new feature film called Revival, directed by Barry Levinson. Written by Phil Premison, the premise of this movie is fantastic. A once legendary Broadway composer, played by Crystal, who after a bitter public divorce gets stuck composing jingles to make ends meet, finds out that a Staten Island high school is staging his most famous musical, and he becomes obsessed with shutting it down. I'm so in on this already. In the meantime, all the money he earns writing stupid jingles goes to keep his only friend, his old incontinent dog Julius, alive. Oh yeah, and Crystal's character, who is trying to kick his smoking habit by using electronic cigarettes, finds himself becoming addicted to the smokeless replacements. Take my money already. The script is apparently so funny that both Crystal and Levinson, in addition to directing and starring, have signed on to be producers of the film. The project has not been picked up by a studio yet, but now with the addition of Crystal to the mix, I have no doubt that that will happen quickly. We will keep you updated on the Revival as more is known, because this sounds amazing. Apparently, something else that is amazing that some of you might either know about already or might have tickets to find out about is Sarah Bareilles' star turn in her own musical, Waitress. Yesterday, Billboard released an article talking to Bareilles along with her co-stars in the show about what it's like to step into a Broadway musical, having not acted since high school, and to have that show be one that you wrote. Bareilles opened up about oscillating between anxiety and exuberance, about taking over the role from Jesse Mueller, talking about the process of when Jesse said she was going to leave, talking with the rest of the creative team about potentially joining the show, and a lot more. Her new co-star, Tony nominee Will Swenson, said, quote, "I don't believe she's not an actress. I think she's been suppressing the desperate desire to do musicals, and this pesky pop stardom overtook this musical actress's career. It's been a big distraction for her," he joked. There's some really great stuff, but in the more news vein, Billboard asked her if she had any intention of writing another Broadway musical. Bareilles said, quote, "My pat answer is never say never. I pride myself in that I make decisions on what happens next in my career from an organic place, and I don't know what that may look like now. I love the idea of writing another musical. I love the idea of being a part of another cast at some point. I love the idea of exploring television or film acting. The gift this show has given me is the curiosity of exploring new frontiers. I didn't know that I'd ever write a Broadway musical. It's exciting to try something new on and enjoy what it feels like to be a student again." I'm just going to put this out here so it's on the record. We can go back and look whether I'm right or wrong. But I would bet dollars to donuts that Bareilles will write another musical within the next 3 to 5 years, but she will be hard at work or having already finished one by the time the next presidential election rolls around. See, that makes the time between now and 2020 not seem as bad, doesn't it? Finally, we're going to close the show. I'm going to give you a little video from MCC's Miscast Gala that happened this past Monday, April 3rd at the Hammerstein Ballroom. All of the different theater sites got their own exclusive video. Since I work for Broadway World, I'm going to give you some audio of Stephanie J. Block performing What Is It About Her from The Wild Party. But there are other videos floating around on other sites if you want to check those out. I may slip in a link to a message board post that has some others linked if you want to check that out. But the songs performed are incredible. Kelly O'Hara sang Pure Imagination from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Jordan Fisher sang Waiting for Life from Once on This Island. Mandy Gonzalez sang Waving Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen. Jen Colella says Everybody Says Don't, Everybody Says Don't, Everybody Says. That's from Anyone Can Whistle. Brian Darcy James sang Unusual Way. I can't wait for that video to come out from 9. Then Gonzalez returned to sing with her Hamilton co-star Brandon Victor Dixon, singing from Bridges of Madison County, 1 Second and a Million Miles. Sticking with the Hamilton theme, Carmen Cusack sang You'll Be Back, Ben Platt sang The Man That Got Away from A Star Is Born, and then, in what might be one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time, Norbert Leo Butz, with the help of Stephanie J. Block, Jen Colella, Brian Darcy James, Brandon Victor Dixon, Jordan Fisher, and Kelly O'Hara, sang It's All Over and I Am Telling You I'm Not Going from Dreamgirls, before the original Dreamgirl herself, Jennifer Holliday, sang I Am What I Am from La Cage aux Folles. As the show ends today, I will go ahead and play you some of this music, but check out all the videos. I'm sure more will be released over the coming days and weeks.
What is it about her that makes me want her? What is it about her that turns me pale? Something in her smile, something that I'll never understand. Her wild abandon, what is it about her that parts the water? What is it about her that hoists the sail? Something in her hair, instructing where to touch. Why do I need her so much? This woman makes me cry. This woman makes me burn. This woman's eyes can cut me to the core. This woman and her hate, I'll take it more. And I want more and more.
All right. right, that's all I've got for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. James will be back with me to close out the week on Friday. So have a great day today, and we'll both talk to you tomorrow.
So soft, so fair, so fine. And she's forever mine.